What is up, Nets fans? Welcome to the Brooklyn Buzz. I'm your host, Nick Faye. With me, as always, Jack Manuel. Jack, how are we doing?
Yeah, still not great, but, you know, it's at the end of the day, it's a game of basketball, Nick, but things aren't looking good at this early stage for the Brooklyn Nets.
Yeah, it's definitely been a struggle, and tonight was a disappointment in the loss to the Pacers, 118-108. Jack and I were there, along with Corey Waldron, fellow OTG member and Pacers fan. But before we get into that, quick reminder, you can find us on iTunes, OTGBasketball.com, Google Play, Dash Radio, YouTube, and NetsRepublic.com. But, Jack, what do you want to get into first in this game? There's a lot to talk about.
I mean, there is, Nick, but let's just look at some of the comments that Coach Kenny made after the game, and I'm not sure if you've seen them yet, but he said we've got a lot to figure out. We've got to get to know each other more and get on the same page. They took it to us physically, and on the offensive end, we're not really running anything. What are your thoughts on Mr. Atkinson?
I honestly think that he's spot on. Offensively, they aren't running anything. They're just doing a whole bunch of isos and pick and rolls. They're not running any of the plays they have, and we were kind of talking about this at the game. Almost every time out of a timeout, Kenny drew something great up and it ended up with an open three, an open shot. And it's just like the Nets weren't taking advantage of that. And I was talking to Corey actually after the game too, and it feels like they're using some of the players almost as just floor spacers, and actually instead of putting them in a role, like somebody like Joe Harris, you're not necessarily running him a lot off screens. It's just like, all right, let's put Joe in the corner so we can open up more space. And then touch on the first part of the quote, chemistry definitely was an issue tonight as you saw some passes end up in the first row.
Yeah, there was a lot of live ball turnovers, which were really frustrating. You know, Spencer was expecting guys to be in certain positions, guys like Nwaba, guys like Temple, these sort of guys, and Rodion Skuritz, guys that he wouldn't normally have a bit more chemistry with, but at this early point, it's just not there. And Coach Kenny also said it's multifaceted. Transition defense was an issue in Memphis on Sunday. We're trying to improve that. Teams are shooting the three well against us. You can't deny it. The top 10 in attempts given up. So the attempts aren't high. It's just the percentage is high. So, yeah, the three-point shooting, I think that they shot nearly 44%, if I'm not mistaken, from that area.
43%. 42 point.
So it's certainly an issue.
100%. And it's just like, a lot of the looks aren't even contested. It's open looks for solid three-point shooters instead of making a rotation off maybe a lesser three-point shooter. It's just defensively, they're not in sync at all. And that comes with communication improving and also comes with guys just stop ball watching and actually moving and rotating around the hoop instead of just kind of sitting there. And that's a lot we've seen from this Nets team is bad communication and lack of movement defensively.
Yeah, I think pick and roll defense has been a massive issue as well. DeAndre and Jared Allen are caught in no man's land. You know, then that leads to offensive boards for the likes of Domantas Sabonis, and then just easy floaters for T.J. Warren and Malcolm Brogdon. We saw that time and time again throughout the night. What do you think needs to change?
I think there might have to be a defensive adjustment in terms of the scheme and what they're trying to do, or guys are just going to have to turn up their tenacity like times 10. I believe this for a while that it. The Nets defense puts a lot of pressure on the guards, especially when the guards are asked to do so much offensively. And then if you're asking them to chase guys all around screens and constantly, get through all that contact and then do the work on the other end, I think it might just be too much. And I think switching to more of a switchy defense where you're switching a lot more instead of, on these pick and rolls and not getting yourself in a bad situation, then also better help defense and more rotation. It's just right now, there's just not a lot of activity. It's a lot of one-on-one defense, or you're just getting busted in the pick and roll.
Do you think the Nets have the cattle to do a switching style defense, Nick?
I think it's a possibility. We look at a couple guys in the roster that, Torian Prince has already played some minutes at center. We know Caris LeVert can defend at multiple positions. Think what needs to happen, though, if you're going to be a switchy defense, your communication has to dramatically improve because that's where you're going to have to help a lot. If Kyrie gets switched onto the post into a guy like Sabonis, someone's going to have to come down and double team, and then you're going to have to rotate from there. Right now, we're just not seeing a lot of activity in general defensively.
Yeah, it seems we're playing a bit too safe. No one's vanilla defense,
which doesn't make sense.
No, it does make sense if you're looking at it from a specific sort of perspective. It's an area of concern, and it really does need to improve. It needs to improve quickly because we're coming up against a pretty offensively sound squad when it comes to the Houston Rockets in just a couple of days, and I'll hopefully be going to that one. Hopefully some things improve by that point in time, but there's plenty of issues, and the turnovers is another one, Nick. So In terms of tonight's game, there wasn't really much of an improvement there.
Yeah, it was not good. I mean, the numbers came down maybe a little bit from like the Knicks game, but I think the passes that are really frustrating are the turnovers that are really frustrating are the ones that aren't forced. If you're playing an exceptionally defensive team that is just like grinding into you the entire game and forcing turnovers, hey, that's going to happen. But a lot of these turnovers were just careless plays or just lack of chemistry and communication.
Yeah, it's frustrating because you miss out on an entire offensive possession just because you just give the ball back, and it certainly grinds a lot of people's gears. And I mean, at the end of the day, it's 4 games into the season, so there are going to be a lot of things to work out. I think we said 6 or 7 new players on this roster, so there isn't the added benefit of chemistry like we spoke about last season. We talked about the fact that chemistry probably got us an extra couple of wins last season, whereas this season it's probably leading to a few more losses if you replace some guys in the rotation with Jared Dudley, Damari Carroll. I think you get a few more wins because we know Jared Dudley is one of the best communicators in the NBA. He set the tone on that end of the floor, and I think right now we're really lacking that. And I'm not saying Jared Dudley is the be all and end all, but I think we could use a guy like him or a guy with his confidence to just really bark out some instructions out on the floor.
We're going to find out a lot about the leadership of this team, in this upcoming stretch and how they kind of improve. I don't think they need to make a drastic improvement and win like the next 4 games, but you want to see them play better. They're going to have better opponents. So is somebody going to hold the team accountable? Have one of these, film room meetings we saw last year. Obviously, still very early in the season. And I do think a lot of the issues is just pure lack of experience playing together. Like we saw some of the passes, like we mentioned, that went to the first row. Guys expected guy to be there. He's not there. He took a cut instead of staying at the 3-point line. And I think just maybe not fully understanding the net scheme, and that's something we took for granted last year with the great chemistry. Not only did they have chemistry, but they knew what Kenny expected out of them. And these new guys are still adjusting to the schemes.
In terms of everything we've spoken about so far, Nick, we can also speak about rotation and the depth. What do you think is the worst problem right now?
That's a great. I mean, I think the defense is clearly the worst right now. It's probably like some of the worst I've seen in the NBA or watching the games last week. But I think it can improve. But right now, it's really bad, especially that pick and roll defense. The Pacers, not a great offensive team. One of their best players ended up missing almost the entire game in Myles Turner, and they're already without Victor Oladipo. Jeremy Lamb came in off injury and killed him. T.J. Warren cooked him. Sabonis cooked him. Malcolm Brogdon looked like an all-star against them. I think like if that many, and no disrespect to them, good to average players or like to having great offensive nights against you, your defense is that bad.
Yeah, you shouldn't be allowing 4 players to shoot 20 points or more against you. It's just, it's lackadaisical. It's a lack of engagement. It's a lot of things. And the offensive end isn't going that great either. Kyrie Irving, like sort of in response to Kenny Atkinson's comments, he was sort of saying some possessions are empty for us. We have simple plays right now, but hopefully they'll become more intricate as we go forward. Kyrie Irving certainly isn't the problem right now. It's a lot of other guys and some of his backcourt teammates, especially Spencer Dinwiddie, who was incredibly poor tonight.
Yeah, Spencer did not have a good game. He was trying to do too much, and he was taking possessions away from guys like Kyrie and Karis, and also not running sets. And that was an issue. I think like we didn't see a ton of plays for Joe Harris and Torian Prince early in the game. We saw Torian Prince attack a little early on Sabonis, and then he didn't go back to that rest of the game. But it's just the offense is not the same offense we saw last year. It's almost like a playoff type offense we're seeing, but teams aren't playing the Nets defensively like they would in the playoffs. Like if the Nets are running this many ISOs in the postseason because they can't run their sets, teams know what they're going to do. Hey, that's okay. But right now, you should be running more plays and having a lot easier time scoring than they are.
Yeah, the Nets right now are 26 in the league in passes per game, just ahead of the Suns, Rockets, Blazers, and Kings. So for me, it's clearly not working. We know that that ball was fizzing around a lot. And for me, a guy like Kyrie Irving, he seemed to be engaged and wanting to move the ball. I think, like you mentioned when we spoke before the game, Nick, you use that first 10 to 12 seconds to try and get the ball moving, trying to get into some sets, be it for guys in the perimeter like Torian Prince, Joe Harris, or whoever it might be. And then in those last 10 seconds, you let Kyrie Irving, Caris LeVert, Spencer Dinwiddie, go ISO ball and try and attack and get to the line or hit a step back three or whatever it might be. It just seems to me that there's a lack of synergy, and it is on the coaching staff and it is on the players. I think that both do have to take some responsibility there.
Yeah, it's just everything is just so out of sync, and they're scoring points, but it's not like a lot of these buckets are easy buckets. A lot of them are just tough shots that Kyrie, Karis, and Spencer are hitting. You mentioned like they're going to ISOs a lot early in the shot clock. They're hitting tough layups or hitting step backs, but it's just like not providing a ton of energy for the overall team. And that's something you could feel with the team. There was almost like a down vibe when they went down 10. And in the fourth quarter, there was like a little energy, but you just didn't get that type of energy because the lack of ball movement, guys not being involved, and like we mentioned, the defensive activity being so low. It's like they need an energizer right now.
Yeah, and it's hard because as well, when it comes to trying to get some energy and get some easy buckets getting to the line. The Nets right now are 28th in free throw percentage at 68.3%. I'm not sure if that's updated after tonight's game, where the Nets were really bad again, you know, 16 to 26 and just over 61%. They're going to hit their free throws, Nick.
Yeah, they do. And it's weird because, like, they have plenty of solid free throw shooters. It's almost like it's contagious for this team now that, hey, we're all going to miss our free throws. They need a couple really successful, you know, games. Maybe they can get this out of their system. But it is kind of worrisome because even the games they lost, they hit their free throws, they win.
Yeah, and they're fourth in attempts. So they're getting there. They're just not hitting them. And, you know, when you look at the other two teams above us, you know, three teams above us, the Dallas Mavericks at third shooting 74%, the Miami Heat shooting 73%, and a team that we're coming up against in the coming days, the Houston Rockets shooting 81.5%. Obviously, having James Harden shoot about a billion free throws, that's probably certainly inflates the numbers. But you got to hit your free throws, Nick. And you know, we even saw some guys that we expect to hit them just miss them. And it's incredibly frustrating. And I don't know what it is. It's a mental thing. You know, DeAndre hit them early and he looked all right. Then he misses the next two. It's a frustrating process from a fan.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, the worst thing is, you know, a lot of it is mental. And like I mentioned, almost contagious for the team. It's like they just need to knock out of their system before it kind of lasts more than half the season.
Yeah, it's too much. And hopefully it gets remedied sooner rather than later, because I think free throws more than anything are mental. And it's not necessarily something you go into the gym and just keep practicing free throws. Maybe it is for some players, but for some, I think overdoing it is probably only going to make it worse. But
And just to throw this in there, Jack, sorry to cut you off. It's the free throws are going to be such an important game, a part of the Nets game offensively for the entire season. Like you mentioned, they're fourth in attempts. That's not going to stop. Kyrie gets in the lane. Karis gets in the lane. Spencer gets in the lane. Jared and DeAndre both get fouled a lot. So, like, there's going to be a lot of foul shots. It's like, are you going to make them? It's going to be the difference in probably a couple wins in the season. We already, like, mentioned it cost them arguably the, you know, two of their first losses.
Yeah, I mean, tonight Kyrie Irving 4 of 5 was good. You know, Jared Allen 2 of 3, Spencer Dinwiddie 5 of 6. But then there was a lot of other guys who just missed. You know, Rodion's when he went to the line twice, missed both of them. Karis only got to the line twice, and he only hit one of them. So it's certainly frustrating. I think Karis LeVert, it's an area where he really needs to improve on. We spoke about it in the player preview series. But in terms of the rotation overall, Nick, you know, the bench, you seem to be a little bit down on them. What is your reasoning behind that?
I think the bench unit just doesn't fit the style of offense the Nets play. Because, like, let's look at it. You know, you're putting out Spencer Dinwiddie, Garrett Temple, David Nwaba, Rodions, and Jared Allen or DeAndre, whoever starting, you know, not starting that game. Now, how many good three-point shooters are out there, Jack?
Not a lot, Nick. I would say if we're going to percentages, all of them are bad. And I think when it comes to Kenny's rotations, last season it worked because you have a guy like Damari Carroll, Jared Dudley. Those guys are better three-point shooters than Nwaba and Temple. Well, Temple, I think, is probably hit or miss in comparison to those guys. But at the end of the day, because three-point shooting and getting to the free throw line are two core elements of our offensive system, and we've only really got a guy in Spencer Dinwiddie. Rodions can maybe do it. David Nwaba can be a bit erratic at times. But I think there needs to be some more staggered lineups from the likes of Kenny. You know, keeping a Karis out there, keeping a Kyrie out there, because I think that the offense looks just disjointed when it's just the bench lineups out there. It's a bit of a mess at times.
And it's almost too much pressure for Spencer Dinwiddie to just ask him to go out there and score. Last year he was able to do it because he had good space. And the guys you mentioned, you know, for some reason were more respected than the guys we do have. Obviously, Nwaba is not really a three-point threat. And you can feel that he's not a three-point threat because he doesn't want to shoot the three. He's constantly trying to drive on wide-open looks. So I think Kenny, like you mentioned, needs to kind of stagger these minutes with not necessarily even the best players, but the best three-point shooters. Like, to be effective in the NBA, you need to have spacing. They have three really good three-point shooters. They have Kyrie, they have Joe Harris, and they have Torian Prince. Those guys can knock down open threes. Torian hasn't been amazing to start the season, but Joe and Kyrie have been great. So I think they need to keep – Kenny needs to keep two of those – or one of those three players on the floor almost at all times.
Yeah, I think you're making a lot of sense there, Nick, and I'm hoping going forward, because at least for the offense, and then, you know, whoever it might be, I think one of those guys, I think one of Prince or Harris just always needs to be out there, because it just spaces the floor, it opens up the lane for a Karis LeVert and or a Spencer Dinwiddie, depending on if one or both of them are out there. And we know Kyrie Irving can create a shot no matter where he is on the floor. And obviously, he's probably our best three-point shooter. I'm probably most confident when the ball is in his hands on the perimeter. Joking, it can be a bit streaky, and Torian Prince can be as well as he has been to start the season. So, for me, obviously, I would love for Coach Kenny to ride Kyrie Irving a little bit more, be a bit more flexible with those lineups, and I'm sure he is going to do that. He said he's not worried, and I quote him in saying that, but, you know, if you're not worried, I think that it's a bit of a concern. I think there's some worrying elements to the game. I wouldn't be worried overall because we are only four games in, but some things need to be remedied and sooner rather than later.
I think the one positive that can be taken away, you look at these games and these losses, and none of it's like, wow, the Nets just do not have enough talent on this team. You know what I mean? In the years past, it's been like, okay, they just like capped out their talent. They're not even close to capping out their talent. They're just doing pretty much a whole bunch of dumb things on the basketball court, from not taking care of the ball, not playing good defense, not getting to the fundamentals, which makes, you know, every team great. So I think like that's the one thing where I look at is like, hey, it's not like the Nets are losing because they don't have enough talent. It's just because they're not playing like a team and not playing good basketball.
Isn't that more frustrating though?
In a way it is, but since it's only four games in, I think I'm just able to keep it steady. And I also think something that's not being talked about, and obviously every team reacts differently, they did have that trip to China. That was stressful. We know how the jet lag has an impact too. And you mentioned earlier, a lot of new players, nine new players in this team, and one being the point guard, arguably the biggest component when it comes to basketball, especially during the regular season, and a guy that has a high usage rate. Not saying that he's any part of the problem, but guys just adjusting their game, it's going to take time.
Yeah, I guess we'll get to some players in particular, Nick, and I don't think we really need to speak about, you know, Kyrie Irving, Joe Harris, Torian Prince. Maybe Torian Prince a little bit, but obviously his three-point shooting has been a little bit down. I've liked his energy overall, but for me, I think we've got to speak about our second and third best players in Caris LeVert and Spencer Dinwiddie. And who did you want to start with?
Let's start with Caris, because I felt like this was a disappointing game for him.
So obviously 6 of 8 in from the field, 15 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists. And obviously 4 turnovers, which is incredibly disappointing. 2 of 4 from 3. One thing that I haven't been concerned about, funnily enough, is his three-point shooting. I've actually liked his mechanics and liked his confidence from the perimeter.
Yeah, even the ones he missed tonight looked like they had a chance to go down.
Yeah.
So I think actually tonight he was probably a guy that I felt actually confident shooting the three, especially because I think he knocked down the first two. The issue tonight for him was just kind of forcing a little bit at times. It's almost like the Nets didn't know how to react, and they're constantly trying to attack the rim and kind of hit that interior pass instead of looking to the outside. And what the Pacers really did to a lot of the Nets drives tonight was collapse.
Yeah, and I think in that sort of sense, it forces the offensive team to make mistakes, and it creates turnovers, which is essentially what happened. And I think like what we've been sort of discussing is, if you don't have a capable three-point shooter on the perimeter, you're not going to have the confidence to kick it out. I think that the Indiana Pacers, it's underrated how fundamentally sound they are on both ends of the floor. They play a very sound form of basketball in the defensive and offensive side. Obviously, there are guys that can be frustrating, and I think Corey would say that about a few guys on the roster, but overall, they just do the right things, and I think the Nets could learn a thing or two from them. And I think Caris LeVert is forcing a little bit too much. He's almost taking on some elements of Kyrie Irving's game that he doesn't necessarily have, and almost seems somewhat unnatural. You know, I like it when he's attacking, but I think he's not passing the ball enough. And I think that all of these guys, their skill sets tend to clash. And I think that's where Coach Kenny needs to figure out the rotation and obviously try and utilize them at all occasions to where their strengths are being maximized for the team's benefit and their individual benefits.
Yeah, and I want to touch on another thing too, is the sense that you mentioned, like, when a team like the Pacers collapse against a new team like the Nets, they don't have that chemistry and that confidence maybe that, like, hey, you know, Nwaba's going to be in the corner or Garrett Temple's going to be on the wing. We saw the issues where that turned into turnovers tonight. The team maybe just doesn't have that full-on chemistry yet where the passing isn't, you know, second nature or first nature in a sense. So I think that could be having an impact, but I agree with the Caris thing. Like, he's forcing it at times, and there's a couple times tonight where I felt like he could have probably passed out of the mid-range and hit somebody on the wing for a three.
Yeah, I mean, speaking of forcing it, we'll get to Spencer Dinwiddie. And, you know, the line doesn't look too bad. You know, 20
It felt
point...
bad, though.
It, I mean, yeah, when you just, this is where, you know, you have to look beyond the box score. And I mean, it plays into the fact that we were lucky enough to be there. You know, 20 points, 7 assists, 4 rebounds, 4 turnovers, though. And funnily enough, one of the few Nets players to be in the plus minus who played some actually regular rotation minutes. Spencer was just, it seemed to be just very erratic in his game tonight.
Yeah, I think in the first half he wasn't too bad, but the second half, it's when he kind of forced some extra step back threes that he just didn't need to take. And then also getting to the rim, he just kind of went in reckless trying to get the foul call, which works, you know, on occasion, but hey, you did it three times and you didn't get the call. You know, you got to try something else.
Yeah, I think that he was forcing the issue too much. It's almost like we want Spencer Dinwiddie to tone it back a little bit and turn back into the old Spencer Dinwiddie and try and balance those two factors where he was the guy who had the best assist to turnover ratio in the NBA with a guy like Chris Paul in that season. But you know, you can't necessarily force a guy to completely change what is now his bread and butter. So it's going to be interesting to see how we see our three best players, our three guards play there and mesh together, because you know there are a lot of occasions when all three of them are out there. And I mean, stylistically, it doesn't work, but you need to maximize your talent. And when your talent lies in guard play, then you need to make it work if you're Coach Kenny, and the players need to make it work too.
Yeah, I agree. And it's interesting to see is like, Kenny going to take more control of the offense, or is he going to be like, hey guys, you need to figure this out? Like, you guys are the components of where we're going to make us run. And also, I think it's like every guy maybe being a little bit less, I'm not saying any of them are selfish, but hey, pushing the team a little bit more forward and, you know, working a little bit more off ball, working a little bit more trying to create space for their teammates instead of like just kind of standing at the 3-point line.
Yeah, it seems to me that there isn't a lot of fluidity to this team yet. And obviously it's only 4 games in. But you know, obviously we're going to continue to speak about it because it's we're analyzing what has been produced so far. So we can't necessarily say, oh yeah, we're confident it's going to be fine. Well, until they produce a performance where they sort of put our you know our concerns to rest, there were elements of it in the New York Knicks game which I was pretty happy about, where there was, you know, the ball was moving a little bit more, you know, the role players were contributing to an extent. Whereas, you know, we sort of took probably it was one step forward and two or three steps back tonight. The Memphis Grizzlies performance obviously wasn't great either. So there are a lot of things that need to be remedied heading into the Houston Rockets performance on Friday. But hopefully, you know, we see some progress at least. Rome wasn't built in a day, but you know, there were some things that were at least put in place. There and I think that's we need to see some progression.
Yeah, I would say the most positive part of tonight's game was maybe that second half of the first quarter where the Pacers were, I think, were up for like 10 or 12, and then they ended the quarter, I think, being tied, which I felt like, okay, they showed some ability to get defensive stops and actually score the basketball. But we didn't see that the rest of the game. I think just like you mentioned, showing us more that they can do it more consistently and not just in one quarter or a half a quarter.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of if it was a tale of two halves, Nick. You know, 63-60 to end the half with the Brooklyn Nets lead, and then the Nets score 45 points, and the Pacers score 58 to close out the game. You know, I mean, consistency means everything in a 48-minute game performance. When we were doing the pregame buzz outside of Barclays, we sort of said neither team has produced that yet. But if you're looking at the Pacers, they had quarters that were relatively consistent across the board, 31, 29, 30, 28. Whereas you look at the Nets, 31, 32, 20, and 25. It's just, you know, sometimes the third quarter is a splash, and sometimes the first half is just, you know, it's a bipolar team in terms of what we're producing on the court right now.
Yeah, it's definitely just all out of sync. Like everything is just all over the place. And like you said, we can only react to what we do have, but it's extremely early in the season. I think, you know, plenty can change literally in the next 2 games. You know, if the Nets were to go 2-0 over the next stretch, everybody will probably be feeling a different way.
I mean, it would be amazing. You know, the Pelicans are obviously struggling a little bit themselves, you know, without Zion Drew has been out and Derek Favors. The Houston Rockets are starting to hum a little bit, which is a scary proposition. You know, they've got large aspirations, and I'm sure that they're not going to go easy in the Brooklyn Nets on Friday. But was
And
there
they
anything
have the
else?
Pistons in between.
Yes. Was there anything else you wanted to touch on, though, before we end this one? I mean, there's a lot of things that we could continue to talk about, but it seems to me that it's the same issues that we can continue to talk about after most post-game buzz.
Yeah, it really has. It's been a similar vibe. It hasn't been like a different talk where usually it's like, oh wow, this guy's, you know, off to a great start, or there is a specific issue with X player tonight. It's kind of just been like every team that's played has scored a lot of points against us. The defense has been bad. They turned over the ball. Chemistry's not there. They show a minor glimpse of something. But I think that wraps it up, Jack. And as always, a pleasure talking hoops with you. And big thanks to everybody listening. You can find us on iTunes, Google Play, otgbasketball.com, and netsrepublic.com.